wasn't on your screen, but every time I finish this song, this came to my mind. Close your eyes. If you know the words, sing. If you don't, just bask in Him. And let me introduce to you our first hour speaker, Cheryl Cossey.
Wow. I feel God's Holy Spirit, don't you? Thank you, Marlene and choir. Wow, that was awesome. Woo. The adrenaline's kind of flowing, girls. So let's start with a prayer, okay? Oh. Father God, we thank you for the gift of fellowship. Your presence fills this gathering of your beloved daughters. May my words and our thoughts honor you. And we ask that you grant each of us the grace to walk humbly in your sight. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Humility. It can be hard, especially for us only children. Any other onlys out there? Oh. Good, just a few among us, mainly baby boomer crowd here, yeah. Well, for most of us only children, we were the absolute apple of our parents' eyes. So those of you who know me are probably thinking, oh, that explains a lot. Oh. Humility. Jesus spoke about humility in the first line of his first public sermon. So that makes me think humility is important. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The poor in spirit are those who have the spiritual posture of being poor, who humbly recognize their spiritual need and their full dependence upon God's grace and mercy. God's plan from the beginning of creation, even before, was for us to humbly and fully depend on Him, we would be provided for and taken care of fully by God. Interestingly, the word humble is related to the Latin word humus, which, as you gardeners know, means earth or soil. The posture of being fully dependent upon God originated in a garden, the Garden of Eden. God provided abundantly for Adam and Eve, who had a deep personal relationship with Him, didn't they? They walked and talked with Him as they took care of His creation. No stress, no conflict, no pain, no illness. Sadly, pride entered the picture. Satan held out the promise that Adam and Eve could be like God. So they gave up their humble posture of being fully dependent upon God. Adam and Eve said, "We got this, God. We'll take it from here." Pride is the loss of humility and the root of sin and evil. Acting according to our own wisdom instead of humbly asking God to lead us. Pride caused Adam and Eve to live outside of Eden, dependent upon their own toil. Their pridefulness, their disobedience became humanity's destiny of sin and death. Thanks be to God, He has provided us a way out of sin and death. At God's perfect time, Jesus was born. Isn't this a wonderful picture of Eve and Mary together? Two women whose stories were woven together from the beginning. The despair on Eve's face is the knowledge of sin and death. She is still captive to sin with that serpent coiled around her leg. But God used humble Mary to give birth to our Savior, whose heel crushed the head of the serpent. God sent Jesus, who humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, to save us from our sins and to give us eternal life. God's part, his plan, has saved us through his Son, Jesus. Our part, with God's help, is to be like Jesus. Jesus showed us the way back to full dependence upon God. Let's read these verses from Philippians together. They're on the screen and also in your booklet on page 10. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus is the only perfect human ever, but during his earthly ministry, he humbly acknowledged over and over that he alone was nothing and that God was all in all working through him. Your booklet, again on page 10, includes just some of the verses from Scripture where Jesus emphasizes his humble relationship with God. Jesus never for a moment sought his own honor. He lived his earthly life humbly yielded to his Father. Jesus tells us to learn from him, to be like him. Now, Connie reminded us last week that the Israelites took what should have been an 11-day trip and turned it into 40 years of wandering. They were incredibly slow in learning to consistently trust and humbly depend upon God. Well, girls, it took me over 40 years to humble myself, consistently yielding my will. And now, going on another 3 decades after that, I still struggle with being humble before God. Abraham Lincoln said, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had absolutely no other place to go." Well, for me, it wasn't falling on my knees, but it was throwing myself across my bed with overwhelming despair, crying, "God, I can't do this on my own." I married my high school sweetheart in Carlsbad, New Mexico in 1974. We were married for 27 years, but there was a pervasive issue. He was gay. For about 15 years, we had a good marriage in all respects. He was faithful, and he was a good actor. So what happened at year 15? Career choices moved us from where we were then living in Tennessee to Texas, away from strong Christian friends who had adopted us for family for the 10 years we lived in Tennessee. They were with us through our young married life. They grieved with us the losses of two babies, each born at 24 weeks. With the move to Texas, my husband began traveling for business. That opened the door for sin within our marriage. I ignored warning signs. We had careers. We were achievers. And oh, so proud of our achievements. So a red flag or two popped up in our marriage. But I had everything under control. I've got this, God. I'll make this work. And by the way, thank you for our blessings, especially our children. Yes, we had two children. Oh, for those children we prayed. Christopher Allen was born full term in 1985, and Valerie Catherine was born in Korea, in South Korea, in 1990, and adopted into our family at the age of 8 months. Here are pictures of Chris and Valerie in the early days, and then just about a year ago. On the outside, we had a picture-perfect family. And we were in church every Sunday. On the inside, I was in emotional pain. About 6 years before that day, I threw myself across my bed in full humility to God. I pleaded with the Lord, please get me out of this, God. I'm not strong enough on my own. Well, God had an interesting way of answering that plea. Our careers moved us to San Francisco. God moved us to the most welcoming community in the country for gays. We love the Bay Area. And I ignored more red flags until the night of my 48th birthday. That evening, I ran across something I could not ignore. I saw a hotel notepad with a handwritten list of bars written on it from a recent business trip my husband had had. So I immediately went to the old hardwired computer and looked them up and sure enough confirmed online that these were gay bars. That was my moment of blunt awareness that my marriage was over. But believe it or not, that was not my moment of throwing myself across the bed in full humble dependence upon God. God was with me throughout the divorce. The prayers and love of friends and family, a good therapist, and especially God carried me and my children through the valley, and we came out relatively okay. But in many ways, I was still saying to God, I got this. I can take it from here, God. So what had been and were still my excuses for not humbling myself before God. Pride. I was proud of our picture-perfect life. What would others think if the secret was revealed? Self-reliance. Even after the great reveal, I held it all together fairly well and came out okay, at least in my mind. Fear. I had been afraid of what would happen if all the perfectness fell apart. Now, my fear was about not being able to hold it all together for my kids. A need to control. I thought I could control an outcome primarily through hard work. What an illusion. A little sidebar here. We so often see a connection between our first hour teaching and our second hour small group, don't we? Just last week in my second hour class with Kathy York on the Holy Spirit, our text is Lead Me, Holy Spirit by Stormy Omardian. Stormy had these couple of sentences. I have seen people try to force the Holy Spirit to do what they want him to do. They want him to heal now, manifest now, and empower now. But they don't want to come humbly before him, seeking him, inviting him, and surrendering to him. That was me. Thy will be done. That's repeated regularly in prayer by many who have not the slightest intention of letting anyone's will be done but their own. Not nurturing my relationship with God. I often push God to the margins of my life. I had all kinds of excuses for not having a daily close walk with him. I was too busy. I was too tired. I didn't have a good devotional book. And God knows I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It's okay that I didn't spend time in prayer and reading his word today. He knows I'll catch up with him later. And I'll be in church on Sunday. The truth is, I was like the seed scattered on the rocky ground. My spiritual life was shallow. I had no deep roots because I had not made the deliberate daily choice to spend time with God, building an intimate, personal relationship. So what was that moment that brought me to humility, the realization that I had to be fully dependent upon God? Well, I had retired from the corporate world a couple of years before my marriage fell apart. So after the divorce, I dusted off that decades-old teaching certificate, and I applied to teach at the elementary school where my children had attended. I was positive I would get that job. I knew the school, I knew the principal, and it was two blocks from home. So I got an interview, the first interview I'd had in over 20 years. I left the interview thinking it went okay, but within 24 hours, you know, retrospectively, I began thinking, I'm not so sure. And a couple of days later, I got a letter telling me that not only did I not get that job, I bombed the interview so badly, I was no longer eligible to interview for any teaching position in the entire district. I was devastated. Complete, total rejection. That's when I threw myself across my bed. I cried. I was forced into humbling myself before God, saying to God again, as I had that day 6 years prior, I can't do this on my own, God. I don't have the strength. A friend said this prayer more succinctly as, I can't, you can, please do. At that moment, I was totally, humbly asking for God's grace and mercy. I had no idea what the future was. Selling our home, moving to a new community. I was suddenly dependent upon God. I laid myself open on that bed, sacrificing my will to His will. My son Chris, who was a junior in high school at the time, came in to see what was going on. He said nothing when he saw the letter, but he was obviously angry at the blackballing his mother had received from his former elementary principal. A couple of weeks later, while I was still in despair, I got a call from the school district personnel director. He told me the superintendent had asked him to review my candidacy, and he was putting me back on the list of eligible candidates for teaching jobs. When my son heard this good news, he left on my bed a letter he had written to the superintendent, telling him that his mother would be a wonderful teacher and that a great disservice was being done to students by not allowing me to teach. He implored the superintendent to reevaluate me as a candidate. God used my 17-year-old son as his vessel. Needless to say, I still have that precious letter. When I finally had chosen to actively humble myself, I was in a position to receive God's grace and His gift of divine lifting. And during the 3 months that elapsed between being totally rejected by one principal and being hired by another, I was seeing the gifts through God's grace of my current life. God's stillness filled me while I humbled myself and allowed God to be God. God gave me peace and a calm acceptance in my circumstances. I was healing from grief, and I was no longer harboring a fear about infidelity. I had trust that the financial plan would work out somehow in God's plan. I even had hope that someday I would be ready to date. Then my husband reopened our divorce case 3 months before it was settled. He wasn't happy with the monetary settlement. But those gifts from humbling myself, fully depending on and trusting God, kept me calm, gave me God's peace, knowing He had a plan, and allowed me to casually chat with my husband along the sidelines of our kids' soccer games. I was pleasant, and my husband was dumbfounded. It drove him crazy. He ultimately dropped the legal challenge. So fast forward. The years that followed brought more challenges. My kids grew. My mother passed from Alzheimer's. Some of these challenges where I needed to humble myself, I handled well. Some of them not so well. But humbling myself to God and His plans led to my marriage to my husband, Mark. I told a pastor friend years before that I just wanted a regular guy. I remember that she laughed at my term regular. Well, after we married, I put together more of Mark's story with that comment, perhaps an unspoken prayer, speaking it to my friend, Mark's group of friends in high school. They weren't the rich kids. They weren't the nerds. they weren't the jocks. So what do you think they called themselves? They called themselves the regulars. Oh. God gave me the gift of a regular guy. I also received the gift of Mark's daughter, Jenny, and then the delightful little girl I cherish as my bonus grandchild, Sierra. This picture is Jenny and her husband, Nima, and Sierra, who just turned 7. Theologian John Piper says, humility is the soil in which everything good in the Christian life grows. Without humility, every value and every grace withers. So remember my shallow soil? Just like a garden needs to be nurtured to grow, I finally learned I need to daily nurture my relationship with God, growing in humility to be more like Jesus. Jesus knew he needed to spend time in prayer. We have examples, plenty of examples in Scripture of him removing himself from his disciples and the crowds to be in prayer with his Father God. At this stage in my life, if I don't start my morning with Scripture and prayer along with my coffee, my day never really feels settled and in rhythm with God's plan for the day. I'm really not a morning person, so I often set my alarm to make sure I have time to read a devotional, read Scripture, and pray. I like the ACTS acronym to guide my morning prayer and get my conversation with God started for the day. That's on page 12 of your booklet. ACTS stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication. For adoration, a little chorus works for me. Father, I adore you. Lay my life before you. Alleluia. Father, I adore you. Lay this day before you. Or sometimes, lay this hour before you. That little phrase settles me and gives me a sense of God's presence. I confess my sins, fess up when I mess up, give it to God, turn away, and accept his forgiveness. I thank God for his blessings. Sometimes I start adoration and thanksgiving before I get out of bed, especially on those rare mornings when I do wake up early enough to see a beautiful sunrise. And lastly, I bring before him my supplications, my prayer requests. And let me remind you to pray for those people sitting around you in church on Sunday. We all have a story. Breath prayers. Breath prayers work well to invite God in and displace pride. Inhale, God. Exhale, me. Let's practice this. As I say, inhale, God. You inhale deeply, filling up your lungs totally, and then with exhale, me, let everything out. You ready? Here we go. Inhale, God. Exhale, me. Totally empty of ourselves. Pastor Mark here at ALC says, if we're all filled up with ourselves, there's no room for God. Acts of service. Jesus demonstrated his lessons on humility, didn't he? He gave us a startling example when he washed the dirty, stinking feet of his disciples, even Judas, who betrayed him. We're called to adopt this humble attitude in our actions, showing others the love of Christ. It's amazing how our attitude can change when we get outside of ourselves and our issues to serve others. My husband and I have a wheelchair bocce ball group at the VA, and it doesn't matter how many problems or issues I have on my mind on bocce ball day. Every time we spend a couple of hours with the veterans in games and conversation, my spirits are filled. Lifting others up, another way to grow humility. As you can guess, my son Chris and I are close. Chris married a wonderful girl, Stacy, in 2009. I was not a very good mother-in-law. Stacy is beautiful, talented, and quite introverted. I tried hard to get to know her, but I did not get the overt welcome into her life that I wanted. So I became a bit jealous of her role in my son's life. After all, I was his mother, and I had known him longer. At some point, God woke me up and told me that I needed to lift Stacy up, both in spoken word and in prayer. I needed to praise her and honor her. In other words, I needed to humble myself and subject my role to her role in my son's life. Because after all, he chose her and he sleeps with her. Once I humbly placed Stacy in her rightful place as my son's wife, our relationship changed. I see Stacy now as my son sees her. And she is an amazing woman and an absolute blessing in my life. Here's a picture of Chris, Stacy, their children. Maddie's 14, Carson's 11 and a half, and that's Charlie, one of our five grand dogs. Andrew Murray, an African missionary, said, "True humility comes when before God, we see ourselves as nothing, have put aside self, and let God be all. With God's help, we can do our part to humbly be like Jesus." We're going to close with a favorite worship song, but while our amazing AV people get set up for that, they have to do a little switch. Interestingly enough, a devotional that I received by text this morning was on the topic of, what do you think? Humility. And the verse that the devotional was based upon was Micah 6:8, and I'm thinking this morning, oh my word, I didn't even use that. So Micah 6:8, just as a reminder, he has told you all, O daughter, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And yesterday's Portals of Prayer, which is a little devotional book that you can pick up around here, the topic was on humility. And the prayer that was with this devotional, it was about the Roman centurion who had such strong, humble faith that he knew that Jesus only had to say the word and his servant would be healed. So let me read this prayer to you, please. Lord Jesus, Forgive me when I presume you will take care of my problems the way I would like. Grant me true humility to simply ask according to your will, for you always intercede to the Father on my behalf. Amen. All right.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
Wonderful second hour, friends.